Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 18 of the third chapter of the Gospel of John. So, people of God, this is your God's Word, John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son of God." This is God's word. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you open our eyes to see wonderful things concerning you in this passage of your word, for us in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Pastor McGregor.
Well, it truly is a joy for us to be with you all. Bonnie and I have made three visits up here, two by road and one by air, and it's always a joy to come here. Not only to see Ellie and JC and little Hannah, but now Daniel and Caleb, but especially to see you all. And our son, Robert, specifically, he wanted to not miss camp. So he bought a plane ticket to fly up for camp, and he flies back on Tuesday. So regardless of when the babies were going to be born, Robert wanted to join the Bible Presbyterian Church camp. So thank you all. He has thoroughly enjoyed his time. He's told us about some of the ups and some of the downs and some of the oops and other things that took place at camp. But most of all, he's thankful, and we are thankful, that God's word is central and that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So I thank you all for the challenge that you give not only week after week here at this congregation, but also for the challenge that the kids get to be with those of like faith and to encourage one another in the things of God as well as have fun. So it's been a joy to get those good reports and to be with you all. Our passage today is a very common passage. Most of us have memorized John 3:16. We know it backwards and forwards, etc. But I want us to focus on this exchange with Nicodemus. This is early in John's gospel. As John says, if I was to write down everything that Jesus said or did, the whole universe could not contain that writing. But John selected not only the first miracle there in chapter 2 of water turning into wine, but this is the first discourse, the first conversation that Jesus is having, and it happens to be with one of the leaders of the Jews, Nicodemus. I'm so thankful that Nicodemus was curious. Many of the other Pharisees and scribes and teachers of the law, they were highly skeptical of Jesus. But Nicodemus, the Spirit of God was working in him. Nicodemus, as we note here, when it was evening, Nicodemus slips up those steps to meet Jesus face to face, to ask him some critical questions. And Jesus gives an essential answer, and that is, well, Nicodemus' question, how can you become a member of the kingdom of God? And Jesus' answer is, you must be born again. Not only is that a statement of fact, that is a command. You and I must be born again. Now, Nicodemus, this is not the last time we see him. Here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he is asking these critical questions, but then we'll see Nicodemus after Jesus has been crucified. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they go and ask for permission to take Christ's body off the cross and take it and to bury it in Joseph's tomb, a fresh tomb. So here sort of at bookends, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and at his death, Nicodemus has a significant role in revealing who the Christ is, but also caring for the body of Christ, where Jesus says, I will be buried, and after 3 days, I will rise again. I'm so thankful that his questions revealed, first of all, our hopeless state. We are all children of Adam. We are all dead in sin and our trespasses in sin. We are hopeless. By nature, we are without hope, and God's only antidote, his only remedy to our condition, is that we must look and believe in Jesus. As I say, Nicodemus was a respected teacher. He's a leader of the Jews. And in one sense, his question reveals not only the fact that, yes, I've had all this education and I'm an outstanding leader and everything, but I don't have an understanding, a peace. I am not sure I'm a member of the kingdom of God. And so if that's you today, listen carefully. But if you know you're a member of the kingdom of God, listen carefully so you can share that good news with a neighbor. So there in verse 7 of chapter 3, we get the command, you do not marvel at these things, I said to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. And of course, Nicodemus does the normal, natural thinking process of thinking, well, let's see, babies are born, and how can I be born again? And Jesus says, no, I'm not talking about a natural birth. I'm talking about a supernatural birth. a birth by the Spirit of God. That new birth comes only by faith. There in verse 10, Jesus answered, "Are you the teacher of the law and you do not understand these things?" And then Jesus moves on to verse 14. "As Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." We want to look closely at the passage that he's referring to. Now, it's on page 141 of your Pew Bible. I looked that up before I came up here because my Bible's not page 141. But that's if you wanted to follow along. These few verses, see, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, this is nothing new. God has always worked salvation by faith, by trusting in him." Back in Numbers chapter 21, beginning at verse 4, is where we read, and I'll read it for us. I should set the context. The people of Israel had just had a great victory, their first great victory in Canaan. The Lord just wiped these people out, and they're kind of feeling pretty good about this. And right on the heels of that, here's what happens. Verse 4 of chapter 21 of Numbers. "The bronze serpent. From Mount Hor, they set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food.' Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.' So Moses made a serpent, a bronze serpent, and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live." Here, the Lord had gloriously given them the victory, and then they reverted to what so many of us are used to. Oh, we become impatient. We become abusive. We speak against the Lord. We blaspheme him oftentimes. And look what they say. There is no bread. There is no water. Well, he's been feeding them manna daily. He has had Moses strike the rock the first time, and the water gushed forth. Beautiful, fresh, spring water. See, they weren't telling the truth. They're being angry at God, angry at Moses. They are despising this bread of heaven. And in essence, they are rejecting God's grace. You see, they're rejecting God and his gifts. Rejecting God and his gifts is a very dangerous, dangerous thing. So dangerous was it that God simply had venomous serpents just come up out of the ground. These sort of vipers that would bite indiscriminately. Men, women, boys, and girls were receiving the just reward for their disobedience. They didn't have to wait a lifetime for judgment. It was instantaneous judgment. The Lord says, "The soul that sins, it shall die. So they were getting a taste of the fact that God is the righteous judge. He could have wiped them all out at that point. Now, one thing they do, they cry out to Moses and saying, "Oh, Moses, please tell God that we're wrong to do that and have God take away these serpents." But I want you to notice, God does not take away the serpents. He does not remove the punishment. But rather, he instructs Moses, "Moses, create this bronze serpent, similar to the ones that were biting, bronze serpent, so that, and raise it up on a pole, so that those who had been bitten could look and believe that God would heal them." Well, you can imagine there's some skeptics in that day, as there are today. How can looking at this, where's the medic? Where's the doctor? Where's the, I'm hurting and I'm dying. The Lord says, to be healed, you would simply look and believe that I would heal you. God tells Moses to take that bronze serpent, to hold it up. Now, it had to probably be a pretty good size, because we're talking about a lot of people. But as these people, boys and girls and men and women, were being bitten, Moses raised it up. If they looked and believed in their hearts, healed. Those who did not look, or those who did not believe, died in the desert. And Jesus was simply saying, Nicodemus, even as the people looked to the bronze serpent that was raised high in the air, so the Son of Man will be raised up, as it says in this verse, the Son of Man will be raised up, that all who look at him and believe will have eternal life. You see, dear friends, you and I have been bitten by the deadly sting of sin, and we are dying. The natural person is dying in their trespasses and sin. And there's only one sure remedy. There's only one sure remedy. God does not have a variety of plans. There's no plan for this group of people and no plan for that group of people. There's only one plan, one sure remedy for the deadly bite of sin. And it is simply this: looking to Jesus, who was raised up on that cruel, rugged Roman cross, and by believing by faith that he can take away sin's deadly sting. And he can grant full pardon. And he can grant me forgiveness. And he can give the assurance of life eternal. Just as those disobedient, complaining Israelites were instructed, look, believe, and you will live. So you and I are called upon to look. There's a cross right there, isn't it? Look to the cross. Say, Jesus, you suffered there for me. You died for my sins to be forgiven. I believe. And Jesus says, you are forgiven. You have my spirit. You will live for all eternity. Indeed, Jesus says there in John 12, verses 31 and 32, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. The conquering Christ. How does he conquer? He conquers by laying down his life to receive capital punishment of the Romans. You see, the Jews, their capital punishment was stoning. But as we hear from Paul, how did Jesus become sin for us? He became sin for us by being hung upon a tree, upon a cross. Knowing that the Old Testament said a very cryptic verse, cursed, damned is anyone who is hung upon a tree. It is the act of Jesus being crucified that he becomes sin for us, but he becomes God's only antidote, God's only remedy for the sin that we have been bitten by in this life. As Jesus hung upon that cross, he was lifted up so that all who looked and believed in him would be born again, would be born from above. By the way, that verse, you must be born again, you must be born from above, those are two translations that have equal effect in those verses. You must be born again, but that born again is from above. It is only by the Spirit of the living God that anyone can believe. Salvation is of the Lord alone. And that's why those of us who are here, who are adults, who are parents, we are called upon to pray not only for our own children, pray for our grandchildren, pray for those children in this congregation, and also pray for these older children, teenagers and college-age kids and older folks. If they don't know Christ, say, oh God, I pray that you'll help them to lift their eyes to see Jesus and work in their hearts that they might believe. For truly, salvation by somebody hanging on a cross, on a tree, what is it? It's food. For Jews, it's an offense to talk like that. For Greeks, it's foolishness. This is foolish to talk that way. But for those who are being saved, it is the joy and the peace and the belief that Jesus hung there for me, that my sins might be forgiven, that I might be cured of the deadly sting of death, being bitten in that way. So the call is, don't delay. Come to Jesus. Look at him. Believe in his finished work on your behalf and call upon him. It's very interesting. John Wesley came to America as a missionary. But it wasn't until he was heading back to England aboard ship. On that ship were a number of Moravian missionaries who were returning to England. And they were in the middle of a horrific storm at sea. And John Wesley looked at them and was amazed. They weren't restless. They weren't disquieted. And he asked them, how can you live this way? How can you be so much at peace? And they simply said this, our lives are in the Savior's hand. If he wants to take us home to be with him by way of a watery grave, so be it. Or if he wants to give us safe passage to the shore, our lives are in his hands. Well, that so troubled, in a good way, John Wesley, that when he returned to England, he sought out, how can I know for sure? How can I have complete confidence that Jesus is mine and I am his. Just like Nicodemus here. How can I know for sure? And so indeed he sought faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on his behalf. And that's the call for you and me today. If you've looked and you've believed, then your goal is to point others, others who have been bitten by the sting of sin and who are dying, say, point to them, oh, please, look to my Savior. He has the cure for your sin, even as he's had the cure for mine. But if you're here today and you've never looked and believed, Jesus says to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. That verse, John, we love John 3:16 because it's the clear presentation of the gospel. But listen to verse 18 of John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The watching world without Christ stands condemned already. If Jesus was to come today in his return, their doom would be sealed. One reason why Jesus has you and me still walking the same roads and trails and living in the same neighborhoods as many of them is because we are given the mission of pointing others to the Savior. Not only pointing others to the Savior as they look at our lives, but pointing others to the Savior as we show them our love and say, oh, I was without hope, except that he saved me. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord Jesus, we thank you that by your Spirit, through your word, you bring us alive. You make us alive in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you will help each of us to have eyes, spiritual eyes, that can fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, so that he is at the right hand of the Father, even now praying for us. We pray, O Lord, that in these few moments that we have, help us to delight in you, to make your word ours, and to know that you have a work yet for each one of us, for time and for eternity. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.